Well, let's take our Bibles. We're going to go to the book of Acts to start. And chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. It's always nice to be able to spend some time in God's Word together. And today, I wanted to share a little bit about the practical application of God's Word in light of the Blossom Life. And the Blossom Life is what I'm referring to, of a life that is blossoming with God's Word. You know, where our lives have been exposed to truth. We believe the truth of God's Word. Our lives have been exposed to God's love, to His mercy, to His peace, to His goodness. And it's rubbing up against us, and it starts to change our lives. And our lives go from yuck to a blossomed life, something beautiful and wonderful. But there's a process for that, of course. And we see it in the book of Acts here, from the very first day of the start of the church on the day of Pentecost. In verse 37, Peter had stood up with the 11 apostles right after they first spoke in tongues and were addressing what had just happened. And there were lots of believers, Judeans there at the temple for the day of Pentecost, and they were wondering what's going on. And Peter shares what had just happened, and then in verse 37, he says, and he's coming to the conclusion of his teaching, he says, when they heard this, this is the people that were hearing what Peter was saying, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What do we do now? And the answer was, verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent, which just simply means to change your mind, change one direction, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word, those were people who heard it, liked it, believed it. I'm sure there were people who said, it's a bunch of weird stuff. They were baptized, and in the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And then verses 42 through 47 show what they started doing, these people that had just heard the word. And verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. They continued in that. And that was the cause of their growth in a knowledge of God's word. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear or reverence or respect came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Now, part of the reason for that is that there were a lot of people that were there for the day of Pentecost. It was a yearly feast, and they came from all different regions of the Mediterranean world. And some of them just stayed there. Said, I'm not leaving. And so they needed housing, they needed clothing, they needed food. They came for a short trip and decided, I'm not going back home, for now at least. And so they all helped one another. Verse 46, and they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So there was a great transformation for these people that went from a Judean religion, so to speak, to recognizing that the Christ has come. They believed on the Christ. Then they started learning what the truths, and really it was the teachings from the Old Testament that pointed, okay, the Christ is coming. Christ came, here's what God has done for his people, and they started growing in that knowledge, and their lives started changing. So, we're going to go to Psalm 119, and that's part of the Christian life, in the sense that we start to learn of God's Word, start growing in it, and as a result, the anguish in our lives that we've had in the past, the bitterness, the confusion, the devilishness, the weirdness, the selfishness, it starts to fall off. You don't have so much of a mess anymore. There's a great question here in Psalm 119. I always thought this was really cool. Verse 9, it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Wherewithal shall a young person clean up his act, you could say. What does he do? And the answer is, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. So the individual hid the word of God in their heart, his heart, sought God, and that's how a young man cleanses his way. You know, cleans up his act, changes in a sense. So we're going to go to Romans chapter 12. What I'd like to do is just read this chapter, go over some of the things in it. Because the book of Romans is the first church epistle, and it goes over the foundational truths and information that God gives to the body of believers. So Romans chapter 12, so you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, then Acts, and then Romans. So as a little Reader's Digest of the book of Romans, the first eight chapters, 1 through 8, show the depravity. It's God showing the overall picture, the depravity of man, that man rejected God. He was a mess. He had lots of problems. Then his answer to that was that of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is the Redeemer to help man. And then what that caused for people who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ shows the battle between the old nature of man and the new nature of man if he's born again. The raging battle that goes on. It shows all the many things that we have in Christ Jesus that we've been given. And then it goes into the practical application of how to live that which God has given us. So it goes over a lot of stuff. And it answers a lot of questions. And then, so chapters 12, 13, 14, and 15 are all these practical truths of how a believer is to live life. Things to do and things not to do. It's what to stay away from and what to indulge in. And so, just thought it would be really wonderful to read it and to go over a few of the things. But the book of Romans, if we have an understanding of the book of Romans, it's just such a helpful, especially and, you know, Dennis had brought up a question to me the other day. We didn't get to talk about it yet, but the battle, the rage that goes on in our lives as we're learning God's Word. And so it handles all that stuff. So we're going to pick it up with verse 1 of chapter 12. And it says, I beseech you, therefore, and the word beseech could be translated as lovingly beg, or to implore, or to really ask you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you, referring to a born-again believer, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, in the Old Testament, they offered sacrifices to Judeans. burnt sacrifices, and they would sacrifice animals for the cleansing of their sins and this and that. We're supposed to present ourselves, our bodies, as a living sacrifice. We give our lives to God Almighty. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And the word reasonable there is the Greek word logizomai. It's where we get our English word logic. It's your logical reasoning service. When you recognize all that God has done for you, the only real response is, okay, I want to turn my life to you and serve you. That's a logical, reasonable decision after all that's been given. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. And the word world there is the word for time. It's not the round world with the blue sky and the oceans and all that. It's the time period that we're living in. And in Galatians it says we live in an evil time because the devil is still in charge of the earth. Mm-hmm. He's still around. There's still a devil. There will be a day where the devil is destroyed. And there was a day before there was a devil. Lucifer was the devil. Where he was a good one. But when he rebelled against God, he had changed. So we are not to be conformed to this period of age where the devil is ruling the world. But, that's a big but, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the word transformed means transfigured. We change what is in our brains. We transfigure, and the how of it says, by the renewing of your mind. It's not like we can go to the grocery store and say, we go down the aisle and I'm looking for a new brain. You know, go down the medical aisle. Okay, where's the brains? It's referring to our thoughts, and we're to renew our thoughts with what that which God's Word says. Because our brains do not get affected by the new birth. When we get saved, it doesn't affect our brain at all. We still have the same brain as we had beforehand. It's like, you know, with Little League, you know, the first year kids are playing Little League baseball, and the kid doesn't know how to play baseball at all, perhaps. 5 years old, wants to. You put that shirt on him and put the mitt in his hand and put a bat in his hand. That doesn't make him a good baseball player. He's now got the potential for that, but just putting the shirt on him doesn't change it. When we get born again, we get the Spirit of God created in us. We have His nature, but it's still, our brains are still doing whatever they were doing before. So God says, for the practical application of His Word, were to be transformed by the renewing or changing of the mind. It's like the best example is really the butterfly. The worm goes into it, makes its cocoon, gets in there, and comes out a butterfly. It transforms itself into some beautiful little flying thing that we see fluttering around. But at one time, it was a little worm. And it transforms itself by the renewing of your mind that you might prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So it's something that we choose to do. And we're the guardian of our thinking. We choose to decide what we're going to think on and what we're not going to think on, what we're going to accept ourselves to be able to dwell on and what we're going to shut the door to. So, and it just depends on what it is in our lives that we're really affected. And the list is pretty long in the beginning of Romans chapter 2, 1 and 2 and 3, about what life man goes through. And it could be shocking. You know, if you get a bunch of believers around and say, well, what were you involved with before you heard God's word? It could maybe really surprise you. You know, the junk that we've been pulled out of. But it happens where, as we put the Word of God in our brains start changing and our lives start blossoming. Verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So it's not, it's a kind of a rough translation. You know, where you're not to think yourself more highly than you ought to think. You know, that some people interpret that, well, you should think very terribly of yourself. You know, don't get thinking you're such a wonderful person. Well, what God has made us in Christ Jesus is fabulous. You know, we have the righteousness of God. We have His peace. We have a lot of things. That's a wonderful thing, and that's in our lives. It's in light of the boundaries. What we have been given is what we're great at. It's not in necessarily our own five senses accomplishments that we're going to, you know, really hold on to and look how great I am because I did such and such. It's what we have been given and made in Christ Jesus. And the word which says, but to think soberly, it means to be, it's sound thinking. Our sound thinking is to think of ourselves what God says we are. You know, it says we're ambassadors for Christ. That's a great thing. And that's how our brain is to think. So we think in terms of I'm an ambassador for Christ, or God has forgiven me. So whatever I'm thinking badly about, God's forgiven me. And that's how we are to control our thinking according to what God has done for us. Verse 4, and it's going to go into some examples of service and of ways of functioning. It says, for as we have many members in one body, and that's referring to the physical body, this is an illustration, and all members have not the same office, and the word office could be understood better as function. Like, for instance, we all have a body, so we all have a knee, two knees, right? So this knee does one thing. It doesn't do the same thing that our index finger can do. You know, they're both needed, both function differently, but they're both part of the overall body. So there are functions in the body of Christ and services that differ from one another. And it's going to list a few of them. Verse 5, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing, and the word gifts is charisma, and it's just gifts of God's grace, abilities that He has given. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith or of believing. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. Or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. And these are just different aspects of people's ability within the body of Christ. Some people have a great ability to minister healing. Everybody has the ability to minister healing, to operate the gifts of healing. But some people do it much more adeptly than others. Or singing. You probably realize by now, I'm not one of them people that have a great singing voice. But some people really do. Yeah. And it just comes naturally. They will develop it if they choose to. But they just have an ability. Some people have an ability to, ruling with diligence. You know, they have an ability to rule, to help organize. There's other people here, it says, showeth mercy. You know, there's some people that are extremely merciful. It's a long suit in their life. They can just see over all the goofy things that people do and see the good in that individual and bring that part out. Mm-hmm. Some people are short on that. you know, you rub them wrong one way and they get all flared up. Mm-hmm. It's just not a long suit of theirs. So in living within the body of Christ with other believers, these are functions. And so you wouldn't say, boy, that person's really good at that. I wish I could be like that. And then start feeling bad that you're not like that.
Yeah.
Rather, we do what we are good in, that God is working in our lives. And it serves as a function to help the believers. So rather than being jealous or egotistical concerning all those things, we just function in how God best has worked in our lives and continues to work in our lives. So then in verse 9, it moves into other things. It says, let love be without dissimulation. And the word dissimulation means hypocrisy. We're to love without hypocrisy. Not to be two-faced. I'm sure you've been, you know, we've all been exposed to people who are, you know, sweet to you in face, you know, right in front of you, and then as soon as you walk away, they're stabbing you in the back with other people. I remember in high school hearing people, you know, complain or talk badly to somebody else, and I thought, I wonder what they do when I walk away after saying about this person. It got me thinking, you know, it's just the way it is. We're to love without hypocrisy. Our love is to be genuine and true. It's not to be with hypocrisy. And that's something that takes a renewed mind. If that was a weak area in our lives, we work on it. We put the word on in our brain. When we go to say something or think something that's not right, that's not loving, we change our thinking. Abhor, which means to hate with a venom. Abhor that which is evil. So whatever is evil, you just hate it. I love it when people steal from me. Who likes to get stolen from? Who likes to get lied to? You know, it's something we hate. So we also, in the same, would not want to lie. Mm-hmm. You know, lying is a horrible thing. Or distrust, you know, or somebody does something really devilish to you and now you're tempted to distrust them. So, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. It's very simple. You know, we just hang on really tight to that which is good. You ever see certain kids, our Jesse used to do it, different kids do it, but when they're real little, they just jump on you and they cling and they hang on you. You can let go and they're still hanging on. You know, it's just a cleaving. You just, whoosh. And what we're to cleave to is good. And that takes decisions. It doesn't come naturally. When our brains have been trained to think evil, it takes an effort in the renewed mind category to change our thinking. Verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. This is so different than take care of number one, which is yourself. You know, I'm going to do everything to make sure I'm taken care of, screw the rest of everybody else. You know, that's a lot of how our society is built. Mm-hmm. But here, it's in honor, preferring one another. Verse 11, not slothful in business, and that word business isn't dealing with businesses that we have. It's the word for diligence. Not slothful in diligence. You know, we're to work hard at whatever it is in God's word we're endeavoring to work hard in. You know, the exhortation from God is work hard. You know, don't just lackadaisically try to put on the renewed mind. You know, we do it with diligence. Very adamant about it. Serving the Lord, not ourselves. Serving the Lord. But there's a lot in here. But they're all practical things when you think it through in terms of what verse 2 talks about, the renewing of the mind. These all are things that we present to our thinking and keep at it. We're the guardian of our brain and of our heart. We choose what goes in there and what stays in there. Verse 12. rejoicing in hope, and it's the hope, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to actually rejoice in that. It's a command to rejoice in it. And it's a nice thing to have in our heart. It does tickle our innards, you know, when you think about it. Before I got into the Word, I had no clue that he was coming back. I really didn't know anything about it. And then I started learning about what the return was. And I was like, well, that's really nice. And it is a nice tickle spot in our heart that we know that at any time the Lord Jesus Christ could come back. And that puts a smile on our face and a smile on our heart to recognize he's coming back to gather us. And then when that happens, it is just going to be glorious. It's just a terrific thing. And God wants that settled in and set in our heart where it's a reality to us. It's just a reality. Patient in tribulation, the word tribulation could also be translated as afflictions. We're patient in it. They're going to happen. In the class we were doing last night, talked a little bit about that the adversary, the devil, was after Jesus Christ when Jesus Christ was on earth serving in his ministry, and he was constantly after Jesus Christ because the devil doesn't like, he hates God, and so he's going to hate his Christ. And now he hates us. The devil hates God's people. And so he's always trying to put evil and junk on Christians' lives. And so stuff's going to happen. There's just junk happens. We live in a world. And we're to be patient in it, through it. As it comes, we deal with it. We're patient with it. It's not like, what did I do wrong? We're standing on God's word. Stuff that starts with an S happens.
Like super
things, right? So it happens. And what do we do with our minds to deal with it? We look to God. Continuing instant in prayer. And that could be translated as give persistent attention to prayer. This is something that when I first got the word, I had to really work on, because I was not taught about prayer at all as growing up, and it just wasn't something that was in my life at all. I knew people did it, but I didn't know why, because nothing ever changed.
Yeah, right.
So I was like, why are you wasting your time?
What good is that?
So I had to build that in my heart and life. We're to be persistent in prayer. Verse 13, distributing to the necessity of the saints, where we help other believers with things that they may need. We're ready to distribute. We're willing to give and ready to give. We just share with of our needs, like in Acts 2:4. 46 or so, whatever it was, where they help one another with their housing, their food, they needed help, and they helped one another. Given to hospitality, where you are supposed to be given to hospitality. We're willing to receive people and blessed to do so. Verse 14, this is certainly not what you see in the world. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. First normal reaction or common reaction is, I'm going to get you back, sucker. bless. But God says, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. It's not going to help you. You could say it, maybe you'll feel good, maybe not, but it's not going to in the long run help you. It doesn't mean we're a wussy and a pushover. It just means not going to help us. It's an avenue that doesn't work. But we'll see later on, there is an avenue that God has that we can tap into that does work in this whole thing. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with those with them that weep. And this is in the sense of as a body of believers, when there's a hurt in the body of believers with an individual or a group of individuals, we weep, we feel their pain. And when they're rejoicing, we feel their joy. And we do it as a body of believers. Like when Susan, when I found out, I guess a week and a half ago or whatever it was, about your grandbaby, I just was so joyful in my heart for her. You know, just blessed. And it's a great moment in life, you know, just a wonderful thing. With our brother Rich Lucas, he's dying. You know, it's a sad thing. And so it's a weeping with that individual. So, you know, where our lives are connected to other people's lives, good or bad, happy or sad. Verse 16, and that's part of being, you know, a Christian and walking with love, and that may take a change in our behalf. Some people are just like stones; nothing affects them. You know, it's just like they're hard-hearted. Good doesn't really rejoice in their heart, and you know, they're like removed from all emotion. Verse 16. Be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Which means it's in the essence of not being, you know, to stay humble, not being high-minded, egotistical. I'm sure you've been around people that are very egotistical. They think the world revolves around them. And, you know, God says, just stay humble.
Yeah.
You know. And then be not wise in your own conceits, in the sense that don't rely on your own intellect. You know, we should use our brains. But our guidance and wisdom should come from God and His Word, not our own intellect. Verse 17. Recompense or pay back to no man evil for evil. And this is taught in kindergarten, right? Ever hear the question, do two wrongs make a right?
Yeah, right.
You know, somebody did something wrong to you, so therefore you can do wrong unto them. And that happens with adults. You punched me, so I punched you. You spit on me, so I spit on you. You know, but God says don't do it. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of people that you like only. No, in sight of all men. Our lives are honest in front of all people. There's not a double standard. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Which is a great truth. I mean, the world seeks after that, but they don't know how to do it because they don't have the love of God in their heart. You know, truth. So they want everybody to be at peace with one another, but they don't know how to do it. And so they try to legislate it with laws, and that doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what works. Live peaceably with all men. Verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And this is a tie-in to the verse in verse 17 where it says, recompense no man evil for evil. And it also ties into the verse ahead of that, verse 14. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. So God says, don't take that vengeance on your own shoulders to take vengeance about. You know, somebody does wrong to you, so you're going to repay them back. You're going to carry out the justice for this scenario. And God says, don't do it that way. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. There's a day coming where the injustice that people do to others, God's going to take care of in the future administration, and listed in the book of Revelation. There's a lot of stuff that's going to happen. Allow him to do the honors, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't render evil for evil. Walk with the love of God. If somebody does wrong unto you, there are laws in our nation that will take care of a lot of stuff anyway. But you don't have to personally have to take care of the revenge. You know, I remember there was a believer I knew. Some guy was really messing with him. I can't remember the circumstances, but the guy was being just devilish to him. And finally, this believer said, told this guy, he said, look, I'm not going to do anything to you, but I've got a God. If you keep messing with me, I don't know what's going to happen to you, but I know he protects my life. And if you want to keep messing with me, you take your chances. Yeah, the guy stopped right away. He was like, okay. You know, God's got his own justice in place, and there will be a day when that justice is in play. So God says, don't take it upon yourself. There are other ways. You know, let me handle it. Verse 20. Therefore, because of that, if thine enemy hunger, say, Master, you don't deserve anything anyway. That's what a lot of people would think. If thine enemy hunger, God says, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now that doesn't seem to make sense from if you take it literally. You know, feed him and take care of him, and that's going to put coals of fire. It's going to burn his head down. If you put coals of fire on your head, you're going to have a pretty sore head. The coals of fire is an Orientalism, a way of living. In the Old Testament, what they did, they had villages in the early mornings, the cool mornings. They had a fire that had coals in it. And then one of the jobs of the young boys was to go get some of those coals. They put them in this pot, this thing that would, you could put coals in, it's not gonna burn. And to warm themselves, they were supposed to distribute these coals to the different households so they had a start of a fire, so to speak. And it would warm up their body, but it would walk around with the pot of coals in their head and warm them up until they distributed. And that's how the kids would keep themselves warm. So what God's saying here is, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him something to drink. It's going to warm up his life. It's going to bless him. What's it harm to bless somebody instead of being evil towards them? God's will is that they get blessed. You know, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. You know, even though we're a bunch of stinkers, it says in Romans 5 that even when we're, yes, sinners, God had his son die for us. I mean, it's not that we deserved salvation. We were in the spot where we didn't deserve anything. So there are times where people do things to us that are just totally wrong, and we would consider perhaps our enemy. So these are people maybe we really don't like or don't like us. And God says, just be kind to them. Take care of them in your ability. And then verse 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And that's a great truth to live and abide by. And this whole chapter is dealing with a lot of different things. But they're things that we are to put on. And as we do so, our lives do change. You know, we lose that bitterness and that hatred. And, you know, stuff rolls off our back a lot easier. And then chapter 13, which we're not going to read, goes into ruling ministries in the body of Christ and what we're to give and do. And there is a lot of mistranslations for that section that deal with, because they think the higher powers is referring to government powers, but what the higher powers or ruling powers is just the powers, the ruling ministries in the body of Christ, like apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. They have their ministries, and they are the ruling ministries in the body of Christ. It's not talking about paying your taxes, which some translations actually talk about. And then chapters 14 and 15 deal with our relationship with one another and food and not having certain foods and having certain foods and all the stuff that, I mean, this is applicable today when you get into it as the day it was written. It's really wonderful. So as we apply these great truths, our lives do blossom. It changes on the inside, and we continue to change. And after a while, we don't know our old self. I remember when I first got in the Word, I was a fearful, very timid person. Just didn't have a lot. I wanted to be different, but I didn't know how to be. I got in the Word, and I realized, wow, that stuff isn't good for me, and I just changed my mind. Instead of living it, and it has never since bothered me since. But my life blossomed in that area. So it's just a great thing. And so we help one another to grow, and it's enjoyable. Be patient with one another. I know you're very patient with my goofy jokes. I don't think I'll ever get healed. So I'm sorry.
I like them.
So, you know, we just are what we are. We endeavor to be our best. But it's the truths of God's Word that we apply. And there's a lot in there. Oh, just in that one chapter. So, it's terrific.